Hey, I'm Lance Frazier.
Name of Roosevelt.
My name is Trey Mason.
You're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
I'm Cameron Marshall, and you're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
Stay tuned.
Successful. There you go. Chris Jones here on the Piffles Podcast telling you exactly why he left the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Moderately successful in his tenure, in his 3 years. Thanks for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Greg, and I did not see that coming.
Give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
Steve's also... It's my wife's birthday. I can't do an emergency podcast after Chris Jones resigns.
There's certain things you got to suck it up for, Steve. Like, I don't care if we talked you out of this, but still, you got to pull through, bud.
Yeah, no. Unacceptable. She'll have how many more birthdays? How many more times is Chris Jones going to quit on a team and leave after?
I'm assuming I assume Crystal's had how many birthdays? So Chris Jones' number's slightly less.
He's catching up, though.
Pretty quick.
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram as well. Just search PifflesPod. Piffles Podcast brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check them out for happy hour drinks, 2 to 5 p.m., half price. And I don't even know where do we start. So what a whirlwind 30 hours in Ryderville. Absolutely crazy. We'll get to, actually, the other big news, Rod Peterson stepping down as the voice of the Riders and CKRM. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the big news, obviously, Chris Jones asking for his release, resigning, basically, and going to the Cleveland Browns of the NFL as a senior defensive specialist, whatever the hell that means. So, first things first, when you found out, what was your impression, Greg?
This is a family show.
Basically
it's, at my day job and my phone went nuts because I was getting texts the minute that broke by CFL news. I was getting, well, obviously you, me and Steve have our chat, and then I was getting text messages asking if I knew anything from family and friends. And it's just like, what is going on? And it's something that you kind of, in the back of your mind, you knew there was a possibility of it.
It's not totally surprising.
Not totally surprising. And say what you want about the guy, he is a hell of a coach. But after that extension and all the kind words, and I've got unfinished business and that, and then gone. And it's like, and to the Browns of all teams too, but...
Well, just moderately successful. They were 7-8-1. I mean, they're getting there.
That said, Browns are a team. Is a team on the rise.
They have a good young defensive core with some stars back there.
And their offense is getting better. They've got a new head coach, and he's right though. I believe he said if you want to get in on a team, you want to get on the ground floor
with the first year
with a first year coach, and he has the ability. This can either go really good for him. Or really bad, depending on how well they do. And if the team rises to where where people are projecting the Browns to be in the next couple years, that's going to look good on him, and that's going to further his NFL prospects. And you can't fault a guy for that. I'm sorry, you can't.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. When I found out, I was in the middle of having a nap, woke up, saw Twitter go off, like, Chris Jones is gone. Then I went back and had another nap for about half an hour. I'm like, I can sit here and watch it scroll and just watch people lose their minds, which they did, and I think rightfully so, because it did kind of come out of left field right after that extension. I said earlier we're not really that surprised. I think it's just the timing that's surprising more than anything. We all kind of knew Chris Jones, he wasn't going to be here that long, but just signing that extension, we thought for sure he'd be here for all of 2019. Anyway,
especially at this, as we're approaching the fat of the CFL offseason with the draft and free agency, and look what happened. Yes, I understand Toronto won the Grey Cup that year, but they had no front office going into free agency. And with Jones owning four titles, that's a cannonball through the chest of the Riders front office right now.
And that's a huge, has a huge domino effect on the team. So first off, you need a new GM. Likely, that's probably just going to be Jeremy O'Day slide into that role. He's, you know, assistant VP of football ops right now and one of the assistant general managers. So likely he was going to step into that spot anyway. And they've been kind of grooming him for the last few years. And I think he'll be very, very good at that. He's still a young guy. He has a good relationship with the players, especially being young. He's played with a lot of these guys in this that are still in the CFL. So he does have that rapport with them. Who's going to be the defensive coordinator?
That's the biggest question mark out of all of that. I can name probably three or four head coach candidates. Defensive coordinator, I was like, Benavidez, maybe Glanville. I got nobody.
And Glanville's being one of those names thrown out for head coach as well, too, which I don't think would be a great idea. But right now, with this salary cap in the CFL for head coaches and the amount of coaches you can actually have on your team, which is 11, they only have room for one, and they have a head coach and a defensive coordinator position to fill. So you got to find somebody who's going to be both of those, or you need to find somebody who's going to be an offensive coordinator and head coach, hire a defensive coordinator, and get rid of Stephen McAdoo, which likely isn't going to happen. I can't see that happening because they're going to have to eat that contract, and that will count against the cap.
And that's always the way this coaching ops cap was rolled out. This was always one of those what happens when moments. And I didn't think it was going to happen this fast because no one seemed to know what happens if you have a coach that quits, fired. You're only allowed X amount of staff. So what in a situation like this where you have a man owning four hats, what do you do? And, well, here's the stress test.
So let's talk head coaching spot. Names being thrown out there. For some reason, Stephen McAdoo is being thrown out there as a possibility.
I've seen that because he's the assistant head coach.
I can't see that happen.
And that's the natural progression. They say bad things happen in threes. So you have Jones leaving, you have Peterson, and then they'll make McAdoo the head coach. That's the way it's going to go. If you want your three bad things to happen, that's your third right there.
Well, we hope that's not going to be him. Nothing, not a slight against him. I just don't think he's head coach material. Mark Trestman, do you think that's a realistic possibility?
I've seen that one thrown around. That's one where you make a phone call, but I don't see it gets past that.
I think you absolutely inquire about him. I don't know how good he would be without a Hall of Fame quarterback, because his entire career, this guy's a quarterback whisperer. That's how he made his name in the NFL. But in the CFL, he had Anthony Calvillo and Ricky Ray.
Cutler's
that's
on
all he's ever known.
Cutler's about to phone in, by the way.
And then he had Joe Flacco.
But
still, good NFL quarterbacks that were on a huge decline when he was there. But with the Riders not having a starting quarterback in place, and who knows who they're going to have.
On the plus side, maybe that helps you get a quarterback. I don't know. I think there's other options out there that will be better to get a quarterback, like probably LaPolice, who is, if they don't hire in-house, LaPolice is my favorite to go outside the franchise right now. But the problem with that is what's going to be the ask from the Bombers for him?
Oh, they'll want draft picks for sure. And that's something that the team can't afford to give up with Canadian depth so thin as it is. LaPolice, I think, is a realistic shot for 2020.
And that's why I don't think Glanville's that bad of choice. You bring him as your...
As a bridge.
And then you got your...
And let him call the defense as well.
Exactly.
Which I wouldn't be opposed to. Right now, you're basically... I think the Riders are handcuffed with how close it is to free agency, how late it is in the off season, that they need to hire a defensive-minded coach to be head coach and defensive coordinator. Mike Benavides? Possibly. I can't really see that happening. Or else, the other option that's being thrown around is Craig Dickinson, our special teams coach, being promoted from within and then just hiring a defensive coordinator. Maybe a Benavides. That wouldn't be a bad thing. I think with the talent that this team has on defense right now, that wouldn't be horrible, even though his defense was horrible in Edmonton last year.
I think Dickinson is definitely the favorite in-house, and I wouldn't be against it. I think it's going to depend on how bad do the Riders want LaPolice, and are they willing to basically, I don't say burn the season, But do you want a bridge to wait for Lapo's deal to be up next year?
See, and that's what I'm curious about, too, is if you don't and you want him right away, is Winnipeg even going to be, you know, allowing him to do that?
Apparently, they have allowed the Riders to talk to him.
I mean,
is the word coming out of Winnipeg anyway?
I sure wouldn't do that. I mean, unless Lapo does go and say, hey, I wouldn't mind.
Well, the thing is, though, it's, oh, yeah, you can talk. It's then what's the ask once they're done?
You can ask for the moon.
Yeah.
If you don't get it, then he's still on contract to Winnipeg.
Exactly.
So there's many dominoes in place with this team, and it really creates that huge uncertainty going into free agency. So I've seen no more Mike Riley possibilities because Chris Jones is gone.
I actually think this helps us. I think I think McAdoo hurts us when it comes to Riley.
He won a Grey Cup with Stephen McAdoo as his OC.
Grey Cup's one thing. Performance is a different thing. He's had better statistical numbers after McAdoo was gone.
That's because they have no defense and they're always trailing in games, so he has to just...
Oh, yes, the Peyton Manning Colts effect. If you score 50 points, you don't have to worry about a defense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but... I don't know. I saw an interesting... I can't remember who tweeted it out. It was one of the players who say the biggest loss in this one now is the fact that Murphy's gone.
Javon Johnson said that.
It was Javon Johnson, that's what it was.
So Javon not going to be around next season with the Riders. He's a free agent, but we all kind of know that he's not going to be back anyway. Basically said that a lot of the players that signed there, and the reason why he signed there was because of John Murphy. And Murphy helped bring him to the Riders, and Murphy's, well, not officially, but he's with the Toronto Argonauts right now.
Well, he was in Mexico.
Yeah.
I wonder how quick, if he hasn't signed a deal yet, how quick his speed dial was to Reynolds on vacation.
Yeah. So, my question now is... on-field performance, because we can talk about all the different candidates and whatever else, and kind of done that a little bit, and we're not going to know anything until at least Friday when Craig Reynolds is back from vacation and speaks to the media, and that gives him a couple days at least to try and figure out what their plan's going to be. But Chris Jones going to the NFL, how is that going to hurt, or is it going to hurt the Riders on-field?
It's going to depend, unfortunately. Like, it's a cop-out, but we don't really know. Yes, Chris Jones played a hard and fast defense, but there's a lot of guys on this team that he brought in, like Willie Jefferson, who is going to be a free agent, or is a free agent.
Would not be surprised to see Willie Jefferson sign in Cleveland.
I think that helps Willie Jefferson right now. I think it was one of the first things I said to you guys is that's good for Willie because
he wants
a full deal, not a futures contract. And Jones, he now has a guy who will push for him on an NFL team, and that's in Chris Jones. So I think he's going to get a shot, as he deserves a shot.
For sure. Totally.
So that's good for Willie. But if with Jones not being here and he doesn't get a shot, I hope we get first dibs on him. He says he loves playing here, but was it because he loved playing for that coach, or did he indeed love being in Regina with these fans?
It's a really weird situation going on in Saskatchewan right now, in Ratterville, and I really don't know what's going to happen. This is going to be one of those most intriguing years in a long time, just to see how the team kind of rebounds from this, because you saw the steady progression that they had with Chris Jones at the helm. They went from being a 3-15 team to, 5-13, and then one play away from the Grey Cup, and then hosting a playoff game for the first time in 5 years.
Come on, Alex. Everyone knows that 2015 team was the best team we ever had, and Chris Jones came in.
He ruined the team.
Releasing all those guys and cutting Chick and cutting Dressler, and out of those 16 guys that were cut, only one is still in the league, and that's Weston goddamn Dressler.
Two.
Who's the third?
Darren Naba.
I didn't even think of him. Yeah. That is right.
Yeah, he was on their practice roster.
Right.
Yeah. So that one doesn't really super count, but no. I mean.
But it's... situations like this, I love Rider Nation, but I hate Rider Nation.
It's almost to the point where, like, to the Chris Jones haters that are saying good riddance and everything, and you know what? I'm not saying you have to like the guy. You don't like him, you don't like him. That's just...
I get it. I hated him until he became a Rider. I will fully admit he drove me up the wall when he wasn't with us.
But what happens if the team goes back down to 3-15 next year?
Oh my!
In 2019, are they gonna? Are we gonna serve them crow?
They won't take it.
this team's better off without him.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be. It's like, at least...
We're so predictable.
At least we did this legitimately. Like, I've seen so many bad takes. And
rather lose with nice guys than win with a-holes.
I love the passion. I love the passion. But we... Sometimes you just need to take off the green glasses and look at things realistically.
Oh, that's no fun, Greg.
Hey, if I have to do it, everyone has to do it. Because this team progressed every year. Literally one play away from the Grey Cup. They left Ricky Ray too much time, or we would have been in the Grey Cup.
Yep.
First home playoff game.
They're a healthy starting quarterback away from winning that game.
And...
Zach Kolaros plays that game. There's no doubt in my mind we win that game. We go to Calgary. We may not win, but we still win that playoff game.
Hell, we were one win away from hosting the West Final in the regular season. One regular season loss. Yeah. So you take away that game against Montreal that somehow they beat us. And or one of the games that we got blown out by Ottawa. And or the game we no-showed Winnipeg. And we would have been first in the West.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Jones is terrible. Like, I don't get it. There's no pleasing you then. I got nothing.
That's Rider Nation in a nutshell right there. There's no pleasing you. Because there really isn't. Because there's so many people in Rider Nation, but they all have different opinions on how the team should be run. Which is good. Again, like you said, the passion, that's great. I'd rather have that problem than to have the Argonauts problem where you can't get 13,000 people in a stadium for a game.
Where the Cabbies don't even know if there's a football team in town?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I get it. I love the passion. I do. I just wish we weren't so emotional. Is that the word I'm looking for?
That's probably right. See, and for me anyway, I cheer for the logo on the front, not the name on the back. So to me, it doesn't matter. I mean, yes, it matters who, you know, the starting quarterback is. But whoever's back there, I'm going to hope that they have their best game every single game because I want my team to win.
I never bought a jersey with a name on it. I was the reverse Steve. Steve will buy a jersey with a name on it and they will get cut.
He's toasted.
He's toasted. No matter who it is, if he likes a player, that's fine. I refuse to. I absolutely drew a line in the sand many years ago saying, no one stays here. I'm not buying a jersey. Weston Dressler made me change that thing. The only jersey without my name on it is a Weston Dressler jersey. Because he was my favorite player of all... Well, not of all time. That's still not
good. And in a couple of years, you can wear it again.
Yeah. I have a feeling it's going to be this year.
I don't think he's going to...
I think this is it for him. I really do.
Interesting. Well, that's something we can talk about later on down in the offseason. But, so, again, the big story, Chris Jones going to Cleveland and... leaving the Riders high and dry. Do you think he screwed over the team?
No, I don't think he did. I think the Riders screwed themselves.
Oh, so this is one of those...
You know, Riders screwed Shawn Riders? Michaels, yeah, the
Bret Hart things?
Yeah. Brett screwed Brett. No.
Wow, the Riders screwed the Riders.
Yeah, there you go.
Frank Reynolds gave me that contract, so...
it's tough. This is Chris Jones's door into the NFL, so you can't hold it against him.
No, this is a huge step in a career... For somebody, even if, let's say, you have what you think right now is your dream job, you're very comfortable where you are, you're making a boatload of money, but, and you know, you take a new promotion, we'll say, but then your dream job comes along, it's a once-in-a-lifetime offer, even if it's for a lateral movement in terms of money, salary, you still take it. There's way more room for him to advance in the NFL and make a boatload of money mm-hmm. than there is in the CFL. He's reached the apex in the CFL. Well, he can't do anything else.
He's not going... Yeah, you can't go any higher in the CFL. The NFL, he's going to make more money, and all he can do is go up now. He's a special... It's basically a created job.
Senior defensive.
It's a consultant. I don't know.
He doesn't even report to the defensive coordinator. He goes to the general manager.
Yeah, it's...
And then they'll work together and whatever, but, I mean, that's a little odd, but okay.
Honestly, it's better for him if he's got a rapport with the general manager than the defensive coordinator, because the defensive coordinator is probably getting fired before he is.
They don't last.
Exactly. But... It's a good move for him. Could the Riders have protected themselves better? Probably. I don't know if there was a drop dead date on that, but with the way the NFL schedules and the CFL schedules are offset, there's no good time for it because it's not like in the middle of the CFL season you can just jump over to an NFL job because they're in the middle of their season.
Yeah.
And yes, our preseason is starting to ramp up while their season's just ending. So their job openings are happening. It's not like he was going to tell the Cleveland Browns, hey, can we get through free agency, maybe the draft, and then we'll touch base again? No, he can't do that.
No.
It sucks, but that's just the way it is.
And you said it. You can't fault the guy for going after it. It's a once-in-a-lifetime dream job. Or step towards that dream job, whatever he wants to be in the NFL. So I'd do the same thing if I were him.
Oh, hell yeah.
But I like everyone's talking about, okay, well, what are the clues of him leaving? First off, the contract extension. Clue number two, the guy never had a house. And everyone's making a big deal out of that he didn't buy a house in Regina like every other head coach and GM does. And even Greg Marshall bought a house and got fired after 8 games.
Well, maybe he learned after the Greg Marshall and said, don't buy a house in Regina.
But yeah, offseason, he wasn't here. So, I mean, he was still scouting and doing everything down south. And that's fine with me as long as he's working. I don't care where he does it from.
Yeah.
But living in a hotel, it's a little weird, but Chris Jones is kind of a weird guy if that's what he wants to do, and the team's okay to put him up and do that.
I used to work oil field. I lived in a hotel 6 months of the year anyway, so it's nothing new for me.
Yeah, but it's just, that's one of those weird things. But anyway, Chris Jones gone, and I guess we'll find out hopefully soon. They're gonna have to act pretty quick because we got free agency starting up in 3.5-4 weeks, whatever it is, 4 weeks, I think. There's not a lot of time to get a new coaching philosophy in place and figure out, okay, well, which players on my team right now do I want to keep, and then on other teams that you want to go after.
Well, the nice thing is with O'Day still in house, it'd been better with Murphy and O'Day in house, but with Murphy, at least you have, O'Day, at least you have a bit of a transition. You got someone who's been here who knows.
There's still some continuity.
Continuity.
And that's why I think that Craig Dickinson is going to end up being our head coach anyway, at least for 2019, just to continue or to keep that continuity with the current players.
I hope, unless the team absolutely sucks in 2019, Dickinson's not the bridge. Is not the bridge coach. That's a sticky move. It's his first head coaching gig. At least you think if you're going to give a guy his first one, you actually believe in him. It's not like a firing mid-season where then, hey, Craig.
Somebody just takes over.
And yeah, it's
still stuck with your coordinators and whatever else. But normally when a new coach takes over a team, he wants to bring in his own guys. That's not going to be the case here because that's all going to count against the cap and you're not going to be able to afford to hire anybody.
And that's why when this coach ops cap came in, I'm like, well, what do you do? What do you do in a situation where you have to, a coach either quits or gets fired and new guy comes in and wants to change everything? But that's the reason why Toronto went and got Chamberlain. They focused on Chamberlain because he knew everyone in-house already.
The team was familiar with them.
So they didn't have to worry about changing everybody. This ops cap, they rolled it out so haphazardly. I don't think anyone really knows the official rules. Luckily this year, there's a bit of flexibility. But
2019 is going to be a weird year for a whole bunch of things, and that's one of them right there. I think 2020 is the real tone setter for this team going forward in the future. 2019, I don't want to say is a write-off, but I'm tempering my expectations right now anyway. Until I see who's going to be our starting quarterback.
I went from, we could challenge for the West to maybe home playoff game.
You're optimistic.
Hey? I said maybe.
I'm thinking right now. Again, this all depends on who the quarterback is. We're fighting for a crossover spot.
Yeah, playoffs. I'll take playoffs.
Yeah, go out east. We seem to do better when we go out east. Last couple of years, anyway.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway, one other thing we want to talk about. Voice of the Riders, Rod Peterson, stepping down as Voice of the Riders from CKRM. New opportunities coming. I guess we'll find out what those are pretty soon when he's ready to announce that and when that's all in place. But we're going to have somebody new calling games, and that's going to be really weird when you're tuning into the radio and not hearing Rod Peterson call a Rider game.
Literally a voice of a generation, 20 years as the voice of the Riders, and he's been good to us anytime we've interacted with him. He was a good guest that one time, and it's definitely not the news I expected today.
Yeah, it kind of came out of left field. I saw a thread on the Rider Fans forum, I was like, wait, what? What's going on? And then, sure enough, it came out after that, and Rod put his little post on Twitter and Facebook, and I mean, wish him nothing but the best wherever he's going, but it's just, it's going to be weird, because a couple years ago, they got rid of Carm Carteri there, and him and Rod were so great together for so many years.
Yeah, and then
Luke Mullinder comes in.
Brought in Luke, and then that pairing the first year was rough. Let's face it, a new guy learning his job. It's fine, but Luke and Rod were getting their chemistry. They weren't Luke and Carm. Not Rod and Carm, because those guys were together forever.
Well, no one's ever going to be that, right?
And then then all of a sudden it's going to be Luke, and keeping Luke. And yeah, someone else. I assume Phil Andrews.
He's the Pats play-by-play guy. Does it for CKRM already.
So I have a feeling they'll probably slide him in. He's knowledgeable. He's knowledgeable about all sports, and he's good voice. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him. Outside Darren DuPont, maybe, but I don't know who else they would bring in unless they go completely off the grid and bring in a name. But that also changes the Regina Sports Radio landscape, as the sports cage is also going to have to change.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do over there, but I guess that's the nature of the business, right?
And Rod's got his site, so he's probably still going to be doing stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, he'll be around. He's not going to be hard to find. He'll still be involved with the Riders and still be following them. I mean, he's a Saskatchewan boy, right? Like, I mean, this is his home.
Yeah.
And he's still going to be following the team, and you're still going to be able to interact with Rod on Twitter. He's actually been really good with that the last year, 2 years now, is really interacting with people, and you're still going to find that as well.
I wonder how this is going to change his yearly prediction on how the Riders are going to do, though. Now that he's no longer the voice of the Riders, I think that's going to change. I wonder if he's going to be a little more realistic in his predictions.
Maybe. Who knows? But, no. So, there we go. Whirlwind 24 hours, 30 hours almost in Riderville, and just, wow.
It's been a weird 2 days, less than 2 days, and like I said, God forbid bad stuff happens in three. Gainer, wherever you are, hide, because I don't know what else
is going to... Winter, he's probably hibernating in one of his gopher holes.
I don't know what's next, because this has just been a weird couple of days. You said
bad things happen in threes. I'm curious to know what happens next.
McAdoo's the head coach.
I guess we'll find out in the next, hopefully, couple days, next week or so, exactly what direction this team's going to be going in, both on the field and off the field.
Well, like I said, Friday, when... They have to have a thing on Friday. I don't know when for sure.
They'll likely just say that Jeremy is going to be the general manager, and they're looking at all possibilities for head coach.
Oh, that's exactly. I just see them saying J.O.'s the head GM, and coaching search continues, and
yeah, we'll leave no stone unturned.
And then they gotta figure out who the defensive coordinator is going to be and who the head coach is going to be, and move on from there, because
what this team's going to look like, because different coaches have different players that they want, different GMs have different types of players that they want, so the whole landscape of the team could possibly change. We have a good core, but
guys under contract are probably, who knows, like this is more like, everyone talks about when Austin left. This feels, this is way different, because Jones had so many different hats and so many different roles that the entire team is basically on top, like upside down. So,
never a dull moment in Riderville.
I want a dull moment. I really want a dull moment.
I was looking forward to, you know, having a couple nights off and quiet nights in, and then this happened, and, you know, thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Anyway, that's going to do it for us here on the Piffles Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. Follow me at Real Alex D.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
You can follow Steve as well at Safamod. And give us a like on Facebook as well, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram. Just search Piffles Pod. Go to PifflesPodcast.com. Lots of great stuff going up there. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. And special thanks as well to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Churchill Brewing Company, and Cypress Hills Destination Area for their support to make this show possible. Thanks for listening. This has been the Piffles Podcast.